This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a good friend of ours on the show, Brad Chandler. How are you, Brad?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us today. So just a quick bio on Brad. So Brad first got introduced to real estate when he read a book in ninth grade on how to buy houses. In 2002, an investor bought his neighbor's house in Vienna, Virginia, and after talking with the investor, he decided to start Express Home Buyers. 20 years later, Express Home Buyers has bought and sold over 4,000 homes and across the country and runs primarily without his involvement. Brad focuses on making an impact on the team members and the clients they serve by providing a customized solution that best addresses the client's individual needs. In early 2021, he went through a major life transformation and found freedom and happiness through self-love. In 2022, because of the profound shift, he felt obligated to share his path with others and started Brad Chandler Coaching. So again, Brad, thanks for joining us today. Love to hear more about your story and how did this all get started? How did it begin?
Well, so it began back in ninth grade when I read a book on how to buy real estate with no money down. And then an investor bought my house in late 2002, and I went and talked to him, and he's like, yeah, I buy houses at 30% below market. I fix them up and I resell them. So I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. And my son has just been born. So I was working a full-time job. I come home at 6 and stay with him till 8 o'clock, put him to bed. And then from 8 to 11, I was out pounding We Buy Houses signs or hanging door hangers or you name it.
Fun.
I was doing it, and it took me eight long months to find my first deal. And in July and August of 2003, I bought 6 houses. And then in October of 2003, I came home from my job and told my wife at the time, I just quit and I was starting Express Home Buyers. And she's like, what? we have a newborn son and I've got 2 kids. Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, it'll be fine. And here we are 4,000 houses later, and it was fine.
and you're being modest, because you run a really, big business as far as Express Home Buyers. Mm-hmm. And you do a lot. And I know you're a star, right? Because you do all those TV commercials. I've seen all your commercials online and stuff like that. So how can you get into, and you don't have much involvement in it. I think it's hard sometimes for investors that are starting out to comprehend, you know, building a business that runs on its own and not being stuck in the grind and the day-to-day operations, which I think sometimes you and I,
we were just talking about that.
Yeah. But, you know, how did you build it and like structure? Did you plan that all? Is it from trial and error? You know, kind of how did you build your company and to where it is today?
Well, one of the first books I read was E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Love it.
And it talks about how, whether you're going to open one location or 5,000, you always build your company as if you're going to open 5,000 locations. So I was always big on systems and people, but I didn't really know what I was doing for most of the time. We'll get into my story and my transformation, but part of why I got into real estate now looking back was to make a bunch of money because I didn't feel worthy. Mm-hmm. And so while I was trying to build this grand company, I was also making mistake after mistake after mistake, because the more money I could make, the more worthy I would be. And I learned that it doesn't matter how much money you make, if you feel unworthy, whether you have $2 or $2 billion, you're still going to feel unworthy. That's why, unfortunately, you know, $100 million people take their lives.
Right.
So I was always knew that I wanted to create systems, mm-hmm, and have great people, but I attracted the wrong type of person a lot of times. And I was terrible at building systems. And it wasn't really until the last 2 years where I've made this profound transformation and I realized that, hey, I am worthy, I'm enough, and I don't have to prove myself, that I shifted from just focusing on money to focus on making an impact. Mm. So my culture of my business has completely changed. I got a CFO in there who's really strong operationally. And it's not about Brad trying, you know, the next shiny object that's coming down the path, because I don't need to do that. So when I started to shift my focus on making money to making an impact, the money started coming, and me getting out of the business started, you know, working better than ever before.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So let's get more into the transformation that you had in 2021. We'd like for you to get as vulnerable as you can, you know, tell us about it.
Yeah. So I was on a Zoom call, and within a couple minutes, the lady that I was talking with, the transformation coach or performance coach, she was like, you have a tick. And I was like, what is this lady talking about?
You like scratching your back?
Yeah, do I have a tick on my shirt? Like, that's what she said. I'm like, just, I was like taken back. And she said, you blink profusely when you talk about your childhood. You might have some unresolved childhood trauma that is affecting your son's anxiety and his issues. My husband and I, he's an ex-Navy SEAL. We have a program out in Park City. Would you like to come for the weekend? So I was like, sure. At that point in time, I tried everything for my son. So I flew out there for the weekend with my son. And over the course of the weekend, really over a three-hour session with this ex-Navy SEAL, Larry, I walked out of that room, that Airbnb bedroom, a completely different human being. Mm. Every single problem that you have in your life comes down to a thought. And every single flawed thought you have is from your programming as a child. So what do? We very simply went back to the sources of that programming and the thoughts that I created around the events and the stress that happened to me in my life. We identified those things and what I told myself that were buried in my deep subconscious mind that were controlling my behaviors for 47 years. And I had no idea.
Wow.
2 failed marriages, $9 million worth of business mistakes across 5 mistakes, the use of alcohol and weed, some poor interpersonal relationships, a business that was up and down all over, all of those tied back to the stuff I went through as a child. So we identified those and then we reversed them. And through neuroplasticity, which is just your brain's natural ability to regrow new neural pathways, I changed my thinking and thus radically changed my behavior. So I'm a completely different human being than you guys knew when you met me, whatever it was, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, you've seen it. I've seen it online. Can you share a little bit about, like, so people are going to, because I think I can relate to you a lot. So, and I think there's some of the struggles, and Jody mm-hmm. can relate or understand that. But I guess, can you, like, can you explain some of the triggers so people can really understand or grasp it? Or maybe, is there any, like, things that happened in your childhood that you're willing to share that you know triggered those other things mm-hmm. later in life?
Absolutely. So spanking. My dad would hit me with a belt. That's one of the questions now I ask my clients on the intake form is where you hit, because people are still hitting their kids. And outside of sexual abuse and severe mental abuse, the third worst thing you can ever do for a child is to hit a child. Mm-hmm. So you're born with certain needs, right? You need to be seen, heard, understood, mm-hmm. but you also need to be protected. And the two people in your life that are supposed to protect you and give you love are hitting you and inflicting violence on you. It not only hurts, but it creates shame. Mm-hmm. And when a 6-year-old is getting hit by an adult man with a belt for doing 6-year-old things, mm-hmm. breaking a window, talking in class, what does that 6-year-old say? The 6-year-old's brain has got to get him through the trauma. So the 6-year-old says, if something's bad happening to me, I must be bad. Mm. There's something wrong with me. So that was one thing, Sean. My dad also had major self-confidence issues. So he would make fun of me. I had a big head as a child. My head was disproportionately enlarged to my body. And so
I'm in that same boat. So you're okay.
Yeah. Pumpkin head. I was called pumpkin head in school. And then I'd have to come home and have my dad make fun of me. So those things told me and some other things, but mostly those taught me I didn't have a lot of safety. My parents fought all the time. I never knew when my dad was going to lose his temper. Mm. Those things in my subconscious mind said, something's wrong with you. You're not enough. So you've got to prove yourself. Mm-hmm. We all have it to some degree, right?
Yeah.
And here's the incredible thing is that not many people understand what's driving their behavior. So when you come home and you have to drink 3 glasses of wine at night and you're arguing with your spouse all the time, or you've gone from one shitty relationship to the next, you drink too much, you eat too much, you take things personally all the time. Mm-hmm. Someone cuts you off, you get really pissed off. You're just in this constant state of either depression, anxiety, stress. All of those are signs that you have internal conflict. And those internal conflicts can really only come down to 3 things. I'm not enough. I don't belong, and therefore I can't connect. I can't get what I want, and I'll never be able to get it. Mm. All the 3 things, every problem in this world comes down to those 3 things. And all you have to do is identify them and change your thinking around those things, and your relationships, your business, your health, everything will change, as it did with me and so many of my clients.
Well, awesome. Can you repeat those 3 again? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I'm not enough.
Uh-huh.
you feel like you don't belong and therefore you can't connect and you can't get what you want and therefore you never can. So if you see your mom hitting your dad and you're like, I want to save my mom, but I can't, it's called learned helplessness. And therefore you go your whole life thinking I can never get what I want because as a child, I couldn't get what I wanted. Yeah. And your subconscious brain that controls 95% of your behavior doesn't know the difference between yesterday or 35 years ago. So 35 years ago, you've had that learned helplessness. You're going to have that learned helplessness as a 50-year-old or a 40-year-old. Mm-hmm. And what does that do? It creates a lack of self-love. Lack of self-love, guys, is the number not is is the cause of 99% of every world problem we have. Yeah. From the war in Ukraine to our prisons being full to molestation to child trafficking to obesity. I mean, on the 70% third divorce rate, everything comes back to an individual's lack of self-love. And why do we have lack of self-love? Because we weren't born with it. It's because of the events we go through that our parents and caregivers put us through. Not their fault. I'm not blaming them because they are unconsciously doing it to us because they had it done to them. Mm-hmm. They never were aware and broke the pattern. And so we repeat it. So we're involved in this 1,000-year, 10,000-year multi-generational curse. So if you have kids, the best gift you can ever give your kids is to break that multi-generational curse. And you do that by loving yourself unconditionally and teaching them to love themselves.
That's awesome. That's great. I mean, so we talked about, you know, your major transformation, right? And kind of the triggers that you found. And then, so now let's talk about finding freedom and happiness through your self-love. How were you able to do that?
So that was what I did in Park City. And before I get to that, I want to say one thing about kids. Is that if you have kids with behavioral problems, anxiety, they've got ADD, they're defiant, they skip class, they drink, they're, you know, causing trouble. If you want to know the source of where that's coming from, grab your husband or wife and walk into the bathroom and look in the mirror, because that's where it's coming from. We are the source of our kids' problems, just like our problems are the source of our parents. Is that to blame a parent and say they're bad? Not at all. It's just the opposite. They're doing the absolute best that they can do.
So true.
But if a child only misbehaves if they lack connection. So hitting a child and putting a child in timeout, and I put my child in timeout, I never hit him, but I put my child in timeout, you're further disconnecting. Mm-hmm. So you're taking a problem that your kid is misbehaving because they lack connection with you, and you're further isolating and disconnecting them by putting them in timeout or hitting them. Like, bad, 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 bad.
Wow.
It's an incredible responsibility as a parent. And I've heard so much about this and some of the stuff that I've gone, because I went through very similar as far as not worthy. You know, in my own, I'm speaking for myself, not for the two of us, but for me, it was not being worthy. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what drove me in business for so many years was just trying to prove to somebody and just who knows who. But it was this, and it to be honest, it works, right? To be successful in business, because it's a driver that motivates you beyond, you'll put yourself through anything to prove something to somebody that doesn't even know you're trying to prove.
But are you finding true happiness in that?
No.
Right?
That's it. Yeah. Boom. Like, yes, I did it too. And if you look at top athletes and you look at top CEOs, I think they're all driven by childhood stress and programming, right? But totally. Look at the number of people who die every year, you know, killing themselves in bathtubs or over drinking or drugs, and they have all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. So back to your self-love question, Joni.
Yeah.
How did I find self-love? I found self-love by unlearning the behavior that I learned as a child. And that behavior were just untruths that my mind told me to get me through those things. Yeah. So I went from I'm not enough to wait a second. This was never about me. This never had anything to do with me. This had to do with my parents' flaws. And so therefore, I don't need to prove anything. And when I go through, part of my program is in the third week is a 2-hour hypnosis session. Most of my clients, they go through that. I'm like, how do you feel? Right as we're done and I take them out of hypnosis. And they're like, oh my God, I feel so much lighter. So it was the same feeling I felt. Like I had this weight on my chest or this weight around my neck for all these years. And boom, it just gets shed. And you look at the world a completely different way. It is so, so marvelous.
Wow. That just gave me chills.
So can you, I guess, explain now that you... Can you get into some steps just about how maybe some of the steps you go through with your coaching clients, or maybe what you went through, maybe a little bit like some steps. It sounds like hypnosis is one of them. How do you find that true self-love and happiness, I guess?
Yeah, so human beings only suffer when they don't live in the truth. If you're suffering, you're not living in the truth, just bar none, period, end of story. Mm. So all of our issues around the untruths of who we think we are, we aren't who we thought we are, we aren't who we think we are. We were born, whether you believe in God or you believe in the universe, we all came from one creator. No creator said, well, I'm going to make Sean a little better than Brad. I don't know about Joni. Maybe I'll make her even worse than Brad. No, like we're all even, right? Mm-hmm. We were all born these amazing creatures of the universe or God, whoever you believe in. That's who we truly are. So what I do is I get my clients to see the truth. And how do I do that? We access the subconscious mind through hypnosis, because the subconscious mind knows the exact source of your pain. So in hypnosis, I basically say, let's go to a scene that has all to do with the depression or the drinking or the cheating on your wife or the whatever it is, your obesity, your eating. And then the mind says, oh, well, when I was 2 years old and I was in my crib and I couldn't get out, or when my dad didn't show up to my birthday party, or I came home from, or my dad got home and I was in the middle of my birthday party and he got mad and sent me to my room for the rest of the day. Oh, okay. So what did you feel? I felt like this. What did that make you think? It made me think this. And we just figure out what is the source of the pain. Whether you have mental or physical pain, there's only one real true reason to solve it. You go to the source. And unfortunately, in the medical community and the psychological community in the world, we focus too much on symptoms. Mm. And that's why, yeah. You know, you go in for back surgery and then 6 months later, you're back in, because all they do is they fuse together your vertebrae rather than be like, wait, why are the vertebrae off in the first place? So let's figure out, why are you feeling this way? What causes you to drink 5 drinks every day? Kick the dog, whatever your problem is, let's find out the cause and then we can fix it.
Mm. I had something I was gonna say.
Yeah.
The time frame, like what in your experience and with coaching people, like how, I guess it's a process, right? So how is there a time frame that you're trying to work with to retrain some of these habits, reprogram? How long does that take?
So in 3 to 5 hours is when I see the major shifts happening in my clients. And then after the third/fourth hour, they get a personalized recording that I hope they listen to for at least 30 days. Habits usually take 21 days to form. So anywhere between 21 and 30, 40 days, your mind can start regrowing those new neural pathways. So it's a 3 to 5 hour process where you get like major shifts. Mm-hmm. And then coding that into your brain, you know, takes another couple of weeks. It's almost too good to be true. Like had I not gone through it, like if I were hearing this, I'd be like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But in 3 hours after going to therapy for 33 decades and 50 marriage counseling sessions, in 1 3-hour session, I transformed more than all of those put together in 30 years. And that's what I see all of my clients. All of them have been to marriage counseling and therapy. And yeah. My mentors have taken thousands of people through this process. It's the same thing over and over again. What couldn't be fixed in decades can be fixed in a matter of hours.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. It almost sounds too good to be true.
Well, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people struggle with this, right? Yeah. Finding the self-love. Like, I know we only have, you know, 30 minutes, obviously, on this show, but Brad, if you could give some practical tips that to finding self-love, like what would that be? Like, give us maybe a roadmap, a few tips that could help.
Yeah. So I think treating yourself like your best friend, if you wouldn't say it to your best friend, don't say it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Know at the core that you are enough, just bar none. You are enough. You don't have any problems. You may not behave all the correctly all the time, but that's not your fault. That's a result of childhood programming. Every act that happens to you is a call for love or a show of love. Mm-hmm. You as a human being get to respond in only one or two ways, love or fear and ego. And if you're suffering, I bet you a majority of the time you respond to yourself and others in fear and ego. Start responding in love and everything will change. But if you want to do the major transformation, find someone who can take you back again to the source of the pain and figure out the stories that you told yourself around those traumatic events. And just know that those stories aren't true, that it never was about you. Put any of the three of us in your place and the same thing would have happened to us. So it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with your parents and caregivers.
Can you share some of your about your coaching program? Like, you know, how does it involve? Can it be done? Do you have to be in Virginia to be able to do it? Can it be remote? Can you share more about your coaching program?
Sure. Yeah, it's a 5-week session. Meet with me personally each week for 1 hour, with the exception of the third week, which is a 2-hour hypnosis session. It's done over Zoom. Hypnosis can be done really, really well over Zoom. It's been done tens of thousands of times, you know, since the pandemic started. I know that's another thing. Like, how does that work? It works amazing. It works absolutely amazing. And hypnosis isn't about, you know, most people, when they hear that word, they think about the person on stage chasing the mouse around.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. All it is, you're in hypnosis almost every day. If you're in the shower, if you're, you know, you don't think, oh, I'm going to wash under my arm. If you're driving to work every day, you're like, I'm not going to push the pedal and turn my turn signal on. All it really is a deep relaxation, almost like a meditation, where you're blocking out everything else and you can access your subconscious mind, because your subconscious mind knows the source of your pain.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
because I'm that helps me me personally, because I would almost feel like how are you going to hypnotize me? But I'm thinking like stage stuff and over Zoom, and so I'm almost not a believer. But when you say just the subconscious things that we do on a day-to-day basis, that in that mode, I can fully wrap my head around that and grasp it.
Yeah, I think like as a business owner, you know, I mean, first you need to get yourself right? So that way you can help others as well. And going in, I mean, a lot of us, you know, run big businesses. Yeah. And how can you help your team if you're not right with yourself, right?
Yeah.
So shifting into that, Brad, like we have a lot of listeners that are thinking about starting their own businesses. What advice would you give them?
So I'm going to say something on the last point, and then I'm going to come back to this. Okay. One of the first people I ever helped was a virtual assistant in her mid-30s from the Philippines that has worked with us for 5 years. She confided in me that she had major anxiety, that she was sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night, that she had headaches. After 3 sessions, her anxiety went away. She's sleeping 8+ hours a night. She has no headaches. So think about from a productivity standpoint, how much she has changed. 83% of Americans identify as not being very happy. That means that at least 83% of Americans are in this bucket to some degree of not feeling enough, which means they're stressed, they're anxious, they're drinking too much, they're eating too much. They're not giving you their all. So do you know how this could change a business? Like, I've started coaching a lot of people in my business, and their lives are changing because of it, and they're more productive, and they're, you know, better members. So anyway, that's that. The advice that I would give to someone starting a business is that entrepreneurs typically start businesses. There's a wide range of reasons why they do, but a lot of them do, just like you said, Sean, is to prove their worth. That can get you started, but it's not going to end well. So number one, I'd make sure why you're starting the business, and I would always look at it from a standpoint of impact. And it took me 17 years to switch from making money to prove my worth to making an impact. If you start a business with how can I solve a problem and how can I be the best at solving that problem, you're going to make more money than you ever would have made if you were focused on the money in the first place. The second thing that entrepreneurs do is they start businesses because they lack control as children, hence the trauma, hence the programming, and they want to control things. So awareness, all change begins with awareness. So if you know that, you really can't control anything in this world but your thinking.
Right.
You actually get control by giving up control.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that hit home. Another question we ask a lot of our listeners, Brad, is if you were just starting out and you wanted to go back into your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, my gosh. Take my program. take my program and focus.
Fast track just 17 years, right?
I mean, I can't tell you how different, well, financially my life would be, how much more money I would have. But again, it wouldn't make me any happier. Had I just started, just the advice I gave you, if I would have come to work every single day and been like, how can I make this better to make it better and help people rather than make it better so I can make money to make myself feel better? Huge difference.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Focus on impacting people, because when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about how much money you made.
Yep.
You're going to be thinking about the lives that you changed. You were put here for a massive mission, and it's really, really hard to find that massive mission when you're in fight or flight. And most of us are in fight or flight until you do this work and until you figure out the truth and until you find self-love.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So what's Brad's next?
Brad's next is I turn 50 in May.
Wow.
And I'm gonna live to be 110. So I've got 60 years of doing this work. I'm gonna do this work as long as I can speak and talk. And I want to positively impact 1 million people. So I've got plans to create a company where, like you said, Joni, we work on the individual first, and then it's going to be relationships. Because if you're not good, your relationships with your kids and wife or husband probably aren't good. So I'm going to get into the relationships and then sexuality. And then when you got all three of those dialed in, I'm going to go into the health and longevity. So it's going to kind of be a holistic, like, whole life thing of just helping people create an amazing life.
That's awesome.
Well, where are we celebrating your 50th? Yeah, you doing anything big?
I'm trying to put some plans together. I'm not a great planner, so I haven't had anything planned. Yeah. I will text you offline though, because I've got a great idea that I'd invite you to.
Awesome.
Well, Brad, it's kind of been awesome to kind of see your transformation. Honestly, we've known each other for some years now, right? And just to kind of see where you're at, you know, right now in your state, it's pretty cool. So. And I think it's a ton of value that you're adding to everyone out there. So, Brad, how can people get a hold of you?
BradChandler.com/contact has everything, all my social media platforms, my story, the ability to book a call with myself or my team. So that's probably the best place to start. And the website's BradChandler.com.
Awesome. We'll have everything on the show notes as well, guys, but this is a ton of value here. Make sure you listen to this episode. And Brad, again, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to kind of have you on and to speak with you. So,
yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.